Hello, my friends. We are in Genesis 5 today on Through the Word with the very first family tree. It's also known as the Bible's first boring chapter. It's what we call a genealogy. And truth be told, reading a list of names of people that you don't know, along with how old they were, when they had kids, and when they died, can be rather boring. But do not confuse boring with unimportant. Every good scientist, detective, or historian will tell you, boring facts can lead to surprising discoveries. Now, this particular genealogy is essential. It is, after all, your family tree. The very roots of it, in fact. A family tree is a fascinating thing to research. It's where you come from, a part of who you are as an individual and as a human being. The roots of your tree begin in verse 1. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. So the opening verses remind us that God made Adam in his own likeness. We saw that back in chapter 1, and apparently it was worth repeating. You'll find that the Bible often repeats things that are important, sort of a divine hint to pay attention. As it turns out, the words likeness and image carry one of the most important themes in the whole Bible. Do a search for the word image in the Bible, and it's pretty fascinating. So what does it mean? Well, an image is how we see something. You see an image and perceive what that thing is. And what is the purpose of the Bible but to reveal who God is? God reveals himself through his word. So image is big because God's image reveals God's nature. As human beings, we have the awesome responsibility of bearing the image and likeness of God. So does that mean that we look like God? Well, maybe, in a way, but I think this is deeper than appearance. Verse 3 tells us that Adam had a son in his own likeness, in his own image. Think about that. Have you ever watched a kid grow up, and every now and then you find yourself saying, just like his dad, or just like her mom? And it's not just the chin or the eyes, it's a laugh, or a talent, or maybe a kindness or stubbornness, something not quite tangible, but very real and wonderful. It is the likeness of their father or mother. In the same way, we are, every one of us, made in the likeness of God. Think of image like a picture. I see a picture of my friend laughing, and my mind is flooded with memories. The picture itself is not my friend, but it reminds me of him. In the same way, mankind is not God, but there is that glimmer of him that shines through us. When we show compassion or creativity, when we sacrifice our own need to help someone else, forgive a wrong, love an enemy, or bless a widow, when we invent something or create artwork, then they can say of us, just like their dad. That is what I think of God's image. I'm sure there's more to it, but whatever that is, Genesis makes it clear that this is an essential part of our identity. It is at our foundation, the very definition of what it means to be human. But what about the fall? What did the knowledge of evil do to God's image in us? The Bible doesn't spell it out, but something changed. The reflection of God's goodness and glory is distorted and corrupted by man's wickedness. Looking ahead in the Bible, the word image will return when God forbids idols. We were made in God's image, but it is a dangerous mistake to make God in our image. Back here in Genesis 5, God made Adam in his likeness. Adam had Seth in his likeness, and the genealogy goes on from there. Let's catch up in verse 6. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. After he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived a total of 912 years, and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. After he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years, and then he got very sleepy. No, wait, sorry, that was me. The reading got a little repetitive there. I got a little tired. Seriously, this is not the most eye-opening read, but there are some interesting questions to ask here. For one, how did these guys live so long? Old man Methuselah was 969. There are several good theories on this, with some interesting science and history behind each one. Some theorize that each name represents a dynasty rather than one man, or that the years here are either figurative or represent a shorter period of time. Others who read it literally emphasize the very different environment that existed before the flood, or the original DNA of Adam and Eve starting from perfect and deteriorating with each generation. Here in Chapter 5, the genealogy continues with a fairly predictable pattern. I call it the lived, begat, died pattern. Begat is the old King James for having kids. Adam lived, had kids, then died. Seth lived, had kids, then died. So did Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, and Jared, and so on. And that was their record of life. But then in verse 21, one man stands out from the rest. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Did you catch that? Every other man lived, had kids, and died. And Enoch started out that way, but something happened. In verse 22, Enoch's life is described as walking faithfully with God. That fascinates me. What does it take to have a life that stands out from the rest? One that adds up to more than life, kids, and dying? More than all that this world has to offer? The answer is simple. Walk with God. Live every step of this life in fellowship with your Creator. Enoch did. And check out what happened to him in verse 24. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. That's it. God took him. Enoch never died. God simply took him away. All the others lived and died. Enoch walked with God and never died, because God took him. Now we get few details to work with here, but from the grand scheme, this is a life that I would like to emulate. To walk with God. To defy death in a world where every other life is defined by lived, had kids, and died. Think about what it means to be a Christian. Think about what it means to be a Christian. Jesus doesn't just ask us to believe a set of truths or join an institution. He invites us to follow him. Following requires walking together. The New Testament describes our life with God as a walk. Walk in love. Walk in truth. Walk in harmony and unity and humility. In other words, walk with God. And as we do, Jesus promises that whoever lives and believes in him shall never die, but have eternal life. Just like Enoch, when you walk with God, he will take you to be with him forever. Read Genesis 5 for yourself today. Search through the boring to find a few gems. Sometimes the boring passages are concealing a diamond in the rough. And as you read through each generation, consider your own life. Will yours be recorded with all the rest? Just another lived, begat, and died? Or will your life be a walk with the living God? The amazing thing about it is, when you walk with someone, you start to act and talk the way they do. You don't become them, just more like them. It's as if you were being remade in their likeness. Turns out, that's what walking with God is all about. And that is what Jesus invites us to do. Jesus is the image of the invisible God and the exact representation of his being. We're made in God's image, but Jesus is God's image. To look at Jesus is to see God. We distorted God's image with evil and violence, but God sent his own Son to earth to restore our view of who he is. And more than that, to restore the image of God in us. To follow Christ is to be made new. We are renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. As we walk with Jesus, we become more like him, transformed into his image. That's what we were made for, And that is when people will say of you, you're just like your dad.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.